239-1310, 239-1310 with Verna Jones. She is the head of the Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Commission of the American Legion. In looking at reforms of the Department of Veteran Affairs, ever since that was made a cabinet department, has always been a prominent veteran, a former military man. We've not had a woman in charge of that. Is the Legion maybe starting to rethink the qualifications of the individual at the top, that maybe it ought to be competent executive first, veteran second, rather than retired military first? And I know that seems to have been the tradition in the past.
What the Legion is concerned about is having someone there who cares about veterans, someone who's competent, that's going to make sure that they put veterans first, develop a veteran-centric organization that makes sure that veterans have the proper health care that they deserve, that they're getting their benefits, they're getting proper burials. We're not involved in who the VA hires or who is appointed, but once they're there, we want to work with them to put our expertise in place and work with that person to make sure that veterans are getting those things.
Let me go to the phones and Michelle at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I just want to tell the woman who called previously that I am so sorry about her losses as well. I lost my father in December, who is a decorated veteran. He served two tours in Vietnam. He was a retired Army veteran, and he also received all of his services at the VA hospital, and was not diagnosed. And then he died in 17 days. He went to VA hospital, found out he had cancer of the pancreas, liver, kidneys, and it was just so horrible because he was routinely seen at the VA hospital, and they never diagnosed him with anything. They did several ultrasounds, never detected any of this stuff, and then for us to have to lose him in that way was just traumatic for our family. And then what to me seemed really unbearable was the fact that the level of services that he receives as a veteran, and my mom is also a veteran, the level of services that they receive at the VA aren't even comparable to the services that civilians receive. And then when you talk about the healthcare.gov, the healthcare reform, my mom had to choose between getting VA services or getting Medicare, which shouldn't have even been an option. For veterans, I think the level of medical treatment that they receive shouldn't even be in question. That shouldn't be something that we have to question. After my father passed away, I said I would never recommend that any veteran, including my husband, who's a veteran, continue going to the VA hospital, because I think that not only did they allow that to happen, but the treatment was so poor. And then after they were to the point they couldn't even do anything with my dad, they didn't even cover they didn't even cover hospice for him. And it's just a shame that they just kind of let our veterans go down like that. And I feel the same way the previous caller did about the VA hospital. And to me, it seems like they take you through so much red tape. My mom still hasn't gotten paid for all of the things that were promised to her that my father didn't receive while he was alive. And it seems like she has to now jump through so many hoops and go through so much red tape just to try to get all this stuff finalized. And it's just ridiculous to me. I know we got his funeral arrangements and everything taken care of, but they don't do things expeditiously. And so it turned out that we had to kind of step up, and my mom had to pay out of pocket for things to happen while she's waiting on these funds, you know, from VA. And I don't know what recourse she has, but I think that their needs is more than just the person at the top who's to blame for this. I understand that he's in a leadership position, but I just think that there needs to be just a simpler path for veterans to get what they're due.
Let me ask Verna Jones for her the caller's mom. Is there anyone at the Legion that mom can talk to maybe cut the red tape or be her angel or knight in shining Legion armor?
Yes. If you'll leave your name and the contact information once this call is over, we'll have someone contact you. We'll find out where you are. And as I mentioned earlier, we have over 2,900 representatives for the American Legion who probably someone very close to you who will be able to help your mom with all of her issues and concerns.
And
help
mom
her.
Doesn't have to be, dad didn't have to be an Legion member.
No, we help all veterans. You don't have to be a member of the American Legion. We help all veterans, whether you're a member of the American Legion or not.
So Michelle, hold on. And if you would, I'm going to ask you for two things. If you would give your name and a number where you can be reached during the day and your mom's name. And a number where she can be reached during the day. We'll pass that on to Verna Jones, and she'll give that to one of the hardworking staff members right down the street at the American Legion, okay?
Thank you, Amos, and I appreciate your help, and I thank you for your show. I listen to you daily.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Just listening to those first two callers, I have a greater appreciation of what your national commander has heard across the country and this was like, enough of this.
Right. I wish that those two stories were unique. We hear those stories all the time, and it's unfortunate that we hear that. And so we're out there working really hard. As you said, our national commander hears it all the time as he's traveling about the country, talking to Legionnaires and veterans. And those of us who work for the national headquarters, we stand ready when he brings that information back to us. He has programs that are in place that mm-hmm. we're out talking to the veterans in the hospitals, at the VA regional offices, and we hear those stories, and we're working diligently to make sure that we can help those veterans and we can help foster a system that veterans don't have to call in and have those same stories.
Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I had a question in reference to the benefit side of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a recent retiree from the military within the last 3 or 4 years. And prior to my retirement, I had an SSB that I had gotten before. So when I finally retired, they told me I had to pay back the SSB out of my retirement, which is fine, which is what I've been doing. And it's excess of $30,000, but I pay it back every month. But when I got my VA portion of it for my medical evaluation, I was told that even though I was approved over a year and a half ago, it didn't start until last year, but yet and still, they didn't retroactively pay me from the date that I was approved for disability. How is that possible?
What is FSB?
It's a service bonus you get that the Army gave me for getting out the first time.
Oh, okay. That sounds like red tape and red tape and red tape multiplied several times. That's more complicated than people that call up here with just regular Medicaid stuff. But that's an example, Verna Jones, of what you all are talking about.
Right. So, again, if you'll leave your contact information, we can look at your particular situation and see how we can help you. There is a lot of red tape that you have to go through, and there are a lot of processes and procedures that if you got out a particular way or got a bonus because it came from a particular pot of money, you may have to pay that back. But not knowing your situation in its entirety, I wouldn't be able to answer or give you any real good advice right now. But what we will do is call you, get the specifics, and make sure that we give you the right accurate information that you need.
All right, so Anonymous, hold on, and Chris will get your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
Okay, thank you very
much. All right, thank you. Let me go to Karen right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Amos. How are you and your guest?
I'm fine.
I just want to make a quick comment because I've had pretty much first-hand experience with VA. I had a relative staying with me, and it took him at least 6 months just to get a primary care doctor. And the problem with that, he'd had surgery on his foot because he's diabetic. After they did the surgery, there was no follow-up. And so I'm wondering if they have a shortage of staff. It's not that I don't want to say they don't care, but the staff is so short that it took a long time, at least 8 months, just to have a primary care doctor see him. And then when it comes to the not caring part, there have been times when he's gone to dialysis, but they've called and left a message. Say he's at dialysis at 10:30, and then the appointment schedule say he's seeing another doctor in the Green Clinic at 9 o'clock. There's no contact number directly to call back and say, well, can you look at this and reschedule something, because you've got him scheduled for two or three appointments in the same day. So his quality of care was really bad. And, again, I don't want to say they don't care. I just think they're just short-staffed and they don't follow up. There should be some type of advocate that you could call. And, you know, he missed a lot of appointments because they had him scheduled so close together. And they'll call you and say, you have an appointment on May the 5th at 9:30. No other information is given. So when you want to call back and say, well, he's already scheduled to be on dialysis on that day. So I don't know if they're short-staffed, but the quality of care is not very good.
Wait a minute. You're telling me the VA calls you, say you got an appointment at date certain, and then there's no number to follow up?
No number. They call you. This is the VA. You have an appointment on May the 5th at 9:30.
The robot calls you.
Yeah, the robot. And so when you call back, the operator don't know where to transfer you to, because I don't know who it was that called.
They must have some old robots, because there's some modern robots today that will call you and say, you got an appointment. If you got any questions about the appointment I just told you about, call this. They sound like they need some new robots.
No, they just give you that 5-4. I can't remember the number because he's no longer with me, but there's a number that you call. But again, the operator don't know where to
because they don't know what's going on.
And they should help more with their transportation. So there's a lot of things that really need to be looked at so that they can get a better quality of care. And like the young lady said, it's not just the upper people sometimes. It's those people that trickle down, caseworkers, social workers, advocates. I remember one time I called to speak to an advocate, and they gave me a hard time because they thought I was complaining. I said, I wasn't complaining, but you don't seem to have time to follow up on this. So maybe an advocate could go down to the clinic where he's at and let them know he's on dialysis. He can't. Basically, he's missing an appointment because all these appointments are all scheduled together. So they might need to look at their staffing and see if there's a shortage or something. It shouldn't take 6 months to get a primary care doctor.
Verna Jones, is there a staffing issue? Is that part of this? We really don't know.
Right, and that's one of the things we're looking at. With that system we're saving team, we go out to the VA facilities and we ask them, do you have enough staff? Do you believe you have enough staff to complete, to do what you need to do for veterans? And that's one of the things that we're asking for. We've asked for them to go in and look at the scheduling system to see why it's taken so long. We're asking them questions about the amount of beds that are available, the staff that's available, and we're looking at that. That's why our national commander saw it fit yesterday to call for the resignation of those that leadership, because we need leaders who are going to manage those folks that you talked about. It's not just the top leaders, but it's the people who work under them, and they need to be able to manage them. And this mismanagement has caused veterans to suffer with the same issues and concerns that you just voiced.
You may not know the answer to this question. Has there ever been a national commission on the order of the commission after the Challenger disaster, the commission after the riots, after the assassination of Dr. King, the Warren Commission? Has there ever been that kind of national commission with the best experts in the country given a short amount of time and staff and resources to really examine a problem and come up with recommendations to the president of the Congress? Have we ever done that for veterans? And maybe is it – that may be at the national commander's pay grade, something for the Legion to really look at and recommend, because it's just listening – to what my listeners are saying, multiplying that across the country, what the National Commander and the American Legion talked about yesterday, to me, I'm not a veteran, but just a simple taxpayer looking, it's time for a national commission to really look at this. Has the Legion really looked at that as a potential recommendation?
Yeah, and thank you for that question and for your suggestion. I'll certainly take that back to leadership and to our national commander. As I said, since all of all of this mismanagement has come out, the issues with the different facilities, and the National Commander's call yesterday, we have people at the American Legion. We're looking at all different resources, the different avenues, and I'll certainly take that back to our leadership and ask them about that. Has there ever been a national commission to do that?
I've never heard of that. And sometimes when you get one of these insolvable problems that outrages the country, you go to that. Let me go to William right quick, and then Reverend will be our last call with Verna Jones. Hi, William.
Oh, how you doing, Mr. Brown?
Fine.
How are you, Ms. Jones?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, I've had a quite a few experiences with the VA and the VA hospital. And once again, Mr. Brown is on the cutting edge of informing the public. We had this conversation about 3 years ago when Ms. Florence whose father is over the VA information in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened is that I believe that the if the VA hospitals would stop this manufacturing procedure concerning the veteran patrons, patients coming through, it'll be a lot better service, medical service, and they would catch a lot more of the things that are wrong with the vets. They give you this. They don't even give you 15 minutes. 15 minutes is normally the most that you will have time after spending 2 or 3 hours waiting for the doctor. You're only going to be there in 10 to 15 minutes.
Right.
And if they would only give the time that is necessary to listen to the patient and to refer him to other doctors.
Mm.
And that's another thing. The big turnover for the doctors, if you have a doctor that is concerned about your condition and he spends more time, he don't stay there alone. He's not there alone. So most of the time you end up with the yes man. And that's another thing that is causing all of the problems.
All right, William, I appreciate it. Let me go to Rev right quick. It'll be our last caller with Verna Jones, the head of the Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Commission of the American Legion's National Headquarters. Hi, Rev.
Yes, thank you. I have about 20 years' experience with the VA. In California, I was diagnosed with a cancer in time. Two UCLA affiliated surgeons worked on me very hard and long. Complete recovery there. I suffered a bout of depression and went through the whole psychological department, and including CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy course. Moved to Indiana last summer, self-diagnosed appendicitis. Myself went in at 6 p.m., was operated on that midnight, full recovery, detected a hernia in a month.
I was
operated on, full recovery. I have been there many, many times for the eye appointments and so on, and have nothing but highest marks for the VA system. Over now. Thank you.
I appreciate that. And to be fair, there are some good stories that come out of the VA system. Verna Jones?
Well, sure. The VA healthcare system is a great system. That's what I told you about our System Worth Saving program.
Yeah.
In 2003, our past national commander, Ron Conley, who was our national commander at the time, knew that this VA healthcare system was a system worth saving. They were at that time talking about privatizing possibly VA healthcare. We believe that veterans need a system that they can go into that's set up just for veterans, that understands veterans. And we believe that under the right leadership, that can be the VA healthcare system. And we go out to the different VA healthcare facilities and we hear great stories from some veterans who receive their care there. So we're not saying that the VA healthcare system is a bad system. They provide great health care for veterans in particular places, for some veterans, for some conditions. What we want to see under the right leadership is veterans walking into that VA healthcare system and a majority of those veterans walking out feeling happy. We want every veteran to receive great health care. There's some veterans, because of maybe what they expect or what they need, you may not get a 100% mark. But what we want is the best health care for every veteran who walks through those doors.
And those veterans and their families and relatives who are listening, the American Legion, y'all go to the American Legion Mall for Expo every year. The mall is a major part of this community, and that big building right at the mall is the national headquarters of the American Legion. And as Verna Jones said, and when we had the privilege to broadcast from their national convention when it was here in Indianapolis a couple of years ago, the American Legion, while it is a membership organization, it serves every veteran, whether they're a Legion member or not. So if you're a veteran and you got some problems with the VA and red tape, you can go to legion.org. That's their website. Or you can look in the regular phone book and get the number for the American Legion National Headquarters and give them a call. All you got to do is say, I'm a vet. I'm the spouse of a vet. I'm the brother and sister or daughter of a vet. And they will connect you to the people that will listen to you. And you don't have to be a Legion member. That's the one thing that I learned having the privilege at that convention. Again, this was major news yesterday, and I wanted to make sure that our community knew that this was not personal against the current administration at all. And I didn't realize that this was the first time y'all did this since the Reagan administration. But when the American Legion, you know, has to call somebody out, it's serious business, because you all rarely do something like that.
That's right. We're there to work with whoever's the secretary, the undersecretary of benefits for health. The American Legion wants to work with the VA in any way that we possibly can to make that system much better for our veterans.
Verna Jones, she is the head of the Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Commission. They call it VANR. That's Legion talk. And she's over that. And she's at the American Legion's national headquarters, not in Indianapolis. She commutes. You probably got more frequent flyer miles than congressmen and senators have. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on the program. Thank you very, very much for sharing the Legion's view on this. It's a very important issue. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.